Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Life on the front lines requires you to step up your game. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Mattson, CardoMax has designed just the right supplements for you and is offering Drinking Bros an exclusive offer. Buy one, get one free on your first order. Go to CardoMax.com and use the promo code DB. That's CardoMax.com, helping you achieve your max.
Yeah, D'Anthony. 800. Episode 800.
No one cares.
It's the 800 Club, D'Anthony. No. I think there's only a handful of shows who have made it 800 episodes. Yeah. We're probably one of maybe, I don't know, 20, I would say.
Well, no. Yeah, you're right about that. You're definitely right about us being one of very few shows that have made it 800 episodes, although we're closer. We're actually over 9. Technically, we can count all the fake news and the sports shows and the other things that have been too weird to put on the air, but... Let's just call it 800. 800 is like your 35th birthday, man. Nobody cares. After 21, honestly, if you're celebrating birthdays after 21, you need to fucking reevaluate your life, honestly.
It's true. Because a lot of people are asking, they're like, hey, aren't you excited for 800? I was like, not really. We're going to keep doing this every day. I think 1,000 will do something. I know when I was in Austin last week, I passed that theater that's right down by 6th Street, and... Tony Hinchcliffe is doing his 500th episode there.
Right.
We did a big 500 episode. We did a big 100 episode. I think for 1,000, yes, we'll probably do something. But then after that, probably nothing for the rest of our lives, right? Right. Until it's the last one.
Yeah, I mean, you know how excited I get about things.
Yeah.
So it's going to be hard to manage that excitement. I don't know what I'm going to do.
I don't know what you're going to do either, but we can start off with pot. I know you love pot. I don't know anybody who loves weed more than you, except for Giorgio. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody works within the company. One of the Koch brothers, who you have railed on for years and years and years, is actually investing with Snoop Dogg to create a pot company. Yeah. How massive is that goddamn thing going
to
be?
It'll be massive, and it goes to show you that you should never listen to celebrities tell you about anything that has to do with politics ever. Because if you had asked this guy 5 years ago what he thought about the Koch brothers and explained to him what they were doing, he would have called them evil. And now he's working with them because money, right? Money is the solution. Or not the solution, but money is always the answer to qui bono. Who's making money? Follow the money. And any investigation, whether it be into crime or backdoor political bullshit, money is always the answer, always. And, you know, I got to be honest, I've lost pretty much whatever respect I had left for Snoop Dogg is gone now.
Look, I mean, part of me wonders, you know, this bitching that we've had constantly for years and years and years about, you know, people on the left not joining people on the right and all this other shit. You know, racism is always a fucking huge issue, at least in the media it is. If this doesn't help in some way, because let's face it, Koch brothers were huge GOP guys, obviously, before Trump stepped in. Snoop is well aware of their fucking history, and he's, you know, Snoop is super left. Like, does that help at all, and does it fucking matter?
Here's why it matters. It's not that the Koch brothers were right or left. It's because their PAC, Americans for Prosperity, this is what they did. They would hire legal teams to write legislation that benefited them and their corporations and all their subsidiaries, including Tesoro Oil Company in California, by the way. They would write model legislation, and then they would take it to legislators in the United States and say, here's the model legislation we wrote. By the way, here's some campaign funds for you. Now, what do you think fucking happened right there? These people are fucking evil pieces of shit. I'm glad the older one's dead. I hope the fucking younger one dies before he can do any more damage, frankly. Fuck these people. They are the worst human beings in American society. And the fact that Snoop is either ignorant to this, and you shouldn't be if you're getting into fucking a big-ass business deal like this with somebody, if you're a public figure, or he knows and doesn't care because of the money, in which case he's a cunt, right? So I have no respect for the guy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the story now here. It says that they met in a Zoom room, and that Charles Koch and criminal justice reform advocate Weldon Angelos were in there. There is the name of their alliance is called the Cannabis Freedom Alliance. It's a new coalition launching Tuesday next week that could change the dynamics of marijuana legalization debates and get people out of prison and things like that.
No, forget about that last part. It's all about the Coke and Coke Industries has some vested interest in the marijuana fucking game, and they're trying to get it legalized now. That's it. Look no fucking further than that. And if you have any questions about it, I guarantee you, just go look at their history. These people are pieces of shit. They fucked over the American workers so hard over the last 25 years, not just with their businesses, but by spending the profits from their businesses through PACs to influence anti-worker bullshit in city, state, and the federal government for fucking years now. Fuck those people and fuck Snoop Dogg for working with them. I don't give a fuck what the result is. There's plenty of fucking billionaires out there to work with that haven't done this shit. Go find Warren Buffett and start some weed companies with him.
So I guess the guy on the Weldon Project, this Angelos guy, served 13 years of a 55-year sentence for marijuana trafficking charges. He got a full pardon from President Trump last December and got out. And then he worked with, they formed this group together. Look, I'm with you on the Koch brothers aspects. Like, yes, they would not be doing this out of the kindness of their own hearts. I can fucking promise you that. But at the very least, it is interesting. What they're all saying is drugs, the position on drugs, is very libertarian, and therefore they're coming together to do this. But yeah, make no mistake, the Koch brother wants the fucking money here. And there's a lot to be made in the marijuana industry.
Yep.
Many, many celebrities are all pushing this bill to go through or to try to get the bill on the table, because even Schumer was like, hey man, we're putting this bill out, and Biden's kind of unsure on it. And it's Charles Koch, by the way, the one that's left. I forget the dead guy's name.
David.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll never forget their names, because they're pieces of shit that have been as complicit in ruining our country as any fucking two other human beings that exist. So fuck them. Fuck Snoop as well.
Yeah, I don't, and it makes you wonder about the other shit, like with Lil Wayne. Like, I didn't know when he was taking that picture with Trump and saying, hey, let's do this, that he was about to get hit with gun charges. Clearly, he knew, right. And he also got a pardon as well. I don't know if any of them care. I mean, at the end of the day, money's money, and I think probably all of this is a great excuse to make a shit ton of money, probably,
right.
You know?
Right.
So we'll see what happens with that. Hey, have you been watching Aaron Rodgers host Jeopardy, by the way?
No, just the clips. I don't watch Jeopardy.
Really?
No, I've never really been into it. It's the noises are weird.
Yeah, the noises are weird, but I could see you running that shit if you sat down and did Jeopardy. I'd like to do a challenge and sit down and do a live Jeopardy against you and see who wins.
Okay. I'll do that, yeah.
Yeah, we'd have to do it on Patreon probably, so that the audience can see the question as well.
Right.
But that would be a blast. So right now there's a there's a huge debate over who should take over for Alex Trebek.
I mean, how do you follow that fucking? I mean, I guess Drew Carey's done okay following up for Bob Barker, but typically, I mean, you saw fucking what is it? Family Feud has had, since the original dude died, they've had like what, 5 different hosts or some shit like that. I think.
Steve Harvey's ratings are sick on that.
He's good
thing.
Now, yeah. But before him, it was that fat dude Louis Anderson.
Oh yeah.
And then before, and then there was like 2 other dudes in between there, right? So I don't know. It's got to be hard to follow up. So I'm not sure. I think one of the guys is that dude that had the longest run in history, right? One of the potential hosts for the show. Ken Jennings. Yeah. I've heard that. That would be interesting. I mean, honestly, from the clips I watched, Aaron Rodgers is pretty good at it.
So Aaron Rodgers came out on McAfee's show yesterday, and he said this is his dream job. That when he retires from the NFL, he would like to be the permanent host of Jeopardy, which was massively shocking to me. Like Aaron fucking Rodgers being the host of Jeopardy. I'm not sure. It gained a lot of media attention because he did all right. And then one of the contestants wrote something really fucking funny for the final question of the night. He didn't know the final answer, and he knew he wasn't going to win. So his response was, why did you kick the field goal in the playoffs? And I mean, that clip went viral. It's really fucking funny. And it certainly helped his cause. The problem is Aaron Rodgers is going back. I think he's got 2 or 3 years left on an NFL deal. They got to get somebody in that slot now. I know Alex Trebek had said before he passed away that he wanted it to go to Ken Jennings. So they're kind of testing out guys now. And then the latest one to throw their hat in the ring this morning was actually LeVar Burton. And he has he started a petition on like change.org, and he says he wants to be the permanent host of Jeopardy. That's not a bad one, the dude from Reading Rainbow.
Yeah, I heard LeVar Burton's kind of a cunt though.
In real life?
Yeah. Not that that would preclude somebody from getting a job in Hollywood or anything, but yeah, I mean, he would probably be a good host. I could see Aaron Rodgers being a good host of that show, but I mean, what are you fucking laughing at?
I can't believe you just called the host of Reading Rainbow fucking cunt.
I mean,
that's an all new low for the show.
If you act
no
like
one hates LeVar Burton, dude.
Yeah, I mean, no one that knows his public persona hates him, but maybe he's a cunt behind the scenes. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
Just from the stories I've been told, it sounds to me like LeVar Burton's kind of a cunt. And he's not, you know, he doesn't even need that visor. He can see fine. So just like Stevie Wonder, he's faking it. He can see shapes and colors and all sorts of other shit.
Yeah, dude. Look, Stevie, I know, can see shapes, and that's fine. But you're the first person to ever go hard on LeVar Burton.
Fuck LeVar Burton and fuck Snoop Dogg. Both of them can get fucked. But no, so Aaron Rodgers, that was a really funny thing. I was hoping, man, how funny would it have been if all three contestants had gotten together before the show and been like, hey, we don't really care how this ends up. Let's all troll him in three separate ways. So the first would have been like, why no field goal? Or why'd you kick that field goal? And then he has to react to that. The second guy comes up and goes, why didn't they take a receiver in the first round?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And the reason these are easy and they're writing themselves is because the Packers organization is fucking stupid. They suck at fucking making football teams. They're really good at having great quarterbacks and really bad at doing anything else. God damn it, dude.
Let me ask you this, Dan. This is a hypothetical here because this did happen. We do have one known case of this. If Jeopardy backed up the truck and paid Aaron Rodgers, do you think he would retire then from the NFL? Because
go full Tony Romo, you mean?
That's, dude, it's the easiest gig there is. Like, I know that gig. You shoot five in one day there, right? And you can just crank out episodes. And I think towards the end, Alex Trebek was making somewhere in the $30 million range per year. Let's say you just cut that in half and gave 15 to Aaron Rodgers. And this is very similar to what happened with Pat McAfee when he left the Colts. I mean, shit, he was the highest paid punter in the NFL and then decided to go do podcasts.
Right.
Over at Barstool. And, you know, it's worked out pretty well for Pat. He's made a lot more on podcasts than he has being a punter. Any shot that he does it? I mean, fuck. I don't think it's that crazy.
He could. He's got two more years, 21 and 22 left on his contract. And he's got there's only a roster bonus on this year. So if he did, if he eased into the show this year during the season and then quit after this year, he's only going to end up losing about $11.5 million, I think, total. Now his salary right now is about $33.5 million a year.
Yeah,
but who knows if they're even going to re-sign him. Maybe he doesn't want to go to a different team. I mean, he's already forget about all the lost NFC championships. He does have a ring, right? So he doesn't have that monkey on his back. I could definitely see him walking away.
Maybe, man. It's
I'm sorry.
Super interesting.
They've got him for 23 as well, but the no more bonus left, so he's got all of his guaranteed money after 22.
Okay. Well, shit. That definitely could be possible. Preston is saying Ross looks like an older Ashton Kutcher stuck in the 90s, and Dan looks like a pissed off Ben Roethlisberger disgusted with everyone. I love it. You love you dirtbags. Thank you. I'll take that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go to the bathroom with me, you can't do it at a fucking at the MLB All-Star game in Atlanta, unfortunately, because it's not there.
No, and that's what I want to talk about next here. So they moved the old All-Star game because of voting rights and everything else, and they said, you know what? We'd love to take it out of Atlanta, where all those black people live, and then just ship it on up to Denver, where all these white people live, and they have the exact same voter laws.
They're similar. They're similar. So Colorado actually has less time for voting than Georgia does, so they're a little bit worse in that regard, I guess, if you want to consider it that way. They have the same ID laws, essentially, but you can... During the 2020 campaign season, I believe they were one of the ones that changed some of their laws to make ID mean different things, and all those laws got challenged in federal court. So we'll see how that ends up. But they did allow 100% mail-in voting in Colorado, which was not the case, I think, in Georgia. So I guess in that way you could consider them better if you're a proponent of that. I don't think mail-in voting is smart, frankly.
Yeah.
But either way, the similarities are pretty crisp. The one big difference is that the community in Atlanta that was going to get about $100 million in revenue poured into it now won't get that. And they're 51% black, that city is. I'm sorry, that particular community, not just the city, but that particular community. The community in Colorado where the game is going is 69% white, right? So you flip that. So this is not great. It's not great that the cancel culture stuff isn't just affecting people who say borderline shit sometimes. It's now affecting people's ability to put food on their table at large in a community. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and what I can't figure out is, you know, somebody from one of our listeners from Colorado had sent me the form for, you know, how you pick up your All-Star tickets. And it says, you know, if you order them online through MLB.com and you're picking them up at the stadium for the All-Star game, you must show identification to pick up your tickets for the game. Why? Do you not believe who I say who I am? Like, why can't I just show up then at the fucking gate and get the tickets? Yeah. If it's that big of a deal, why do you have the rules in place, but you're pissed off that another state wants those rules in place, and you already have it for your own fucking league? I don't understand it.
Yeah, I guess you don't have to show ID for booze there either.
Oh, no shit?
No, you do. Yeah, of course you fucking
do. Oh, that's right. Here's weird.
Real issue is a lot of people on the left, in particular, have over the last 15 years, as we've become more aware of civil rights shit that is still going on, will refer to institutions as racist. And people will say that it's just an institution with flexible laws and shit. We can change the stuff to make it work better. But the idea was, even if it's unintentional, it's still racially prejudiced if it's negatively affecting disproportionately a particular element of the community, whatever it happens to be, right? It's prejudice in some way. Got it. That actually makes sense. Just because we're not intending to hurt somebody doesn't mean we aren't, and we should look into that. It's a good fucking thing to say. This has been completely lost on the left in this situation. It was completely lost on the left when AOC fucking negotiated her borough's way out of fucking $30 billion in revenue. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It wasn't Major League Baseball that was harmed. It wasn't the state of Georgia necessarily that was harmed. It is the fucking people in that community that are now going to lose $100 million. You took $100 million. It's 51% of the community there. So let's say you took $51 million, right? And you gave it all to fucking white people in Colorado. What message does that send? How are we supposed to interpret that shit? I'm genuinely curious. I'd love to hear from Rob Manfred, who is one of the worst fucking commissioners. I just fucking don't like that guy. Silver is the only good commissioner in sports right now, right? I feel like he is.
Yeah, I mean, look, let me ask you, as a baseball fan, like, I don't know a bigger baseball fan on the planet than you. What does this do to that sport then? Because people are pissed, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, people that are – baseball has had a number of ELEs, extinction-level events over the years, right? The fucking 94 strike was a big one. It took them allowing rampant steroid use to even get back in the game, right? Fan-wise. And it's happened a couple of times. We've seen it in the NHL, too. Strikes send fans away. They get pissed. For Major League Baseball, they're now taking a stance on something that is actually very nuanced, right? They're taking a hardline stance and pulling $100 million out of a black community to make a fucking political point. That is, I mean, I don't know what happens to Major League Baseball because of that, but something fucking should happen, whatever it happens to be. I don't know if it's... I mean, it's the organization at large has been mismanaged. 2020 fucked it up for everybody. The Astros weren't allowed to get out. They're picking some up now, but they weren't allowed to get the heat they deserved in the 2020 season. Mm-hmm. But, man, the way Manfred didn't punish anybody, any of the players, is the one of the biggest mistakes in the history of Major League Baseball, right? And it may not have huge consequences down the road, but it was such a big mistake, because what you do is you take away punishment. If those guys had been punished, then pitchers this year wouldn't be throwing at their heads. Somebody's going to get hurt seriously at some point, whether it's in the beaning or the fight afterwards, and it could have been prevented had Rob Manfred done his job and not been a goddamn pussy. And had he not been a goddamn pussy this time and stood up and said, hey, it's not Major League Baseball's problem, or it's not Major League Baseball's fucking job to tell politicians how to do their jobs. You guys voted for him. That's your job, not mine. I'm a corporation. Because he was such a fucking coward and bent to this stupid cancel bullshit, now $100 million is gone from a black community, and it's going to a white one. End of story, right? It doesn't. The circumstances of this case do not matter. What happened was $100 million was taken away from black people, given to white people. That's what just happened. So explain to me how that's okay. And I'm willing to listen, Major League Baseball, but I know you fucking can't.
Yeah, they can't. I know somebody was asking that Pulaski or Pulaski chick from the redhead.
Pisaki.
Little lying red Riding Hood or whatever the fuck they're calling her.
Saki.
Yeah, Saki Bombs. They were asking her about it yesterday, and she tried to make a statement saying, well, you know, the laws are a little different and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, it's not. It's not that much. And, you know, you're taking one money from, like you said, one community and giving it to another and all that other shit. I don't know why they're answering for it and Rob Manfred isn't. I'd like to see that motherfucker front and center on, you know, SportsCenter or 60 Minutes or somewhere and laying out his argument of why this is happening. Right. Because right now, you know, If you look at this one event, and because we had this before with the NBA All-Star Game.
Yep.
They moved it out of Charlotte when we were there in North Carolina. You know, and they lost some other events as well. The next thing that I'm curious about is if you move something this massive out of, and the Braves were against it. The Atlanta Braves were against it, and they said, right, we don't agree with this decision to Major League Baseball. If you move something this big out, I go to the Hollywood perspective, because everyone now is shooting films and TV shows. Every single goddamn thing is shot in Georgia because they're giving a massive tax break, right? I'd like to see if the Hollywood left now hops on this train and pulls all their production out of Georgia as well, if they're that offended over it. But I don't know if they will, simply because, hey, man, how are you going to beat fucking 30% off all your production costs and all that other bullshit? Like, I guess what happens next is my question, because this, you know how hard it is to reverse a law. Like, that would take a fucking long time. So how long does this go on, and when does it end, I guess?
I don't know.
I believe that the Hollywood aspect of it, all of that happened kind of in mass a couple of years ago. Not all of it. Like, Marvel's still there. But I know, like, Ozark pulled out of filming there and a bunch of other stuff did when they had, and Dan, you'll probably remember this better than me, but there's some abortion law.
In Georgia?
Yes.
I don't really know about
I'll look it up.
I can
but
guess
yes.
what it is. It's probably something about having to show people pictures of a fetus before you fucking give an abortion.
It might have been something. I'll look it something up, but yeah.
That's really fucking stupid, by the way.
Yeah, but it was like there was an abortion law like 2 years ago. It was pre-COVID for sure, where a bunch of Hollywood people were like, we're getting the fuck out of here.
Got it. Yeah, I know Tyler Perry's got a multi-billion dollar studio there, and Ozark is currently shooting there right now as we speak. I don't see any of these fucking guys pulling production, to be honest with you, at this point. Like, I'd be shocked, because where else are they going to go? Back to Los Angeles? They're hiking up taxes there, and they're not getting any more incentives for production. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens with this. But when I saw this story, I was like, God damn it, man. Do you know what you're doing? Like, think of the overall picture, you know? And most of these comments came out right after it happened. Nobody had even read this bill. I remember LeBron James tweeting something about it, like, immediately, like, this is voter suppression and blah, blah, blah. And I go, serious question, LeBron. When did you read the bill? Because I didn't have access to it 15 minutes after the decision was made. Did you? And is he sitting in his fucking locker room reading fucking bills from individual states? Like, it's strange.
Seems unlikely.
Right? Like,
but who knows? Maybe he is. What he's not doing is growing hair on top of his head. Yeah, this is the unintended consequence. This is why any kind of government oppression, even if it's in a mild form like tax, overtaxation and stuff like that, becomes such a runaway problem. It becomes a problem because there is a tipping point at some point down that process where people start to get fed up with the bullshit and they want to leave. Now, who can leave? People who have money can leave. They can relocate. They can do whatever the fuck they want, right? Who can't? Mm-hmm. People that live in inner cities. Poor farmers. You know what I mean? People that live in fucking northern West Virginia. They're not leaving. They don't have the money. They have no idea what the fuck they would even do if they left and went somewhere else. So what you get is Los Angeles. About 15 years ago, L.A., coming out of the Schwarzenegger administration, was like, wow, looks like we're on the road to getting fucked again. It looks like we're on the road so we can fuck these citizens over again. And they started electing these people like fucking Moonbeam again, Jerry Brown, and then his fucking deputy governor, whatever the fuck, Gavin Newsom, who's now the governor, right? These mm-hmm. people who fucking... They want a little taste. It's like a fucking criminal conspiracy. It's like the mafia. They want a little taste of everything you do. And if they don't get it, they feel like I deserve. Why didn't you pay the government something? Where's my fucking taste? Your taste is on my dick, by the way, government. You could suck that dick. So they feel like they're entitled to this shit. And that type of leadership only leads in one direction. The people, even the people that kind of casually agree with what they're doing, will eventually pick their shit up and go fucking somewhere else. And the only people that are left there are poor. Now, I don't know if you've been on the streets of Los Angeles lately out there in the crowd, but it's not great. All the people that had money are leaving. The tax revenue is fucked, and everybody is fucking homeless. I mean, it is fucked in LA, more so than I've ever seen an American city. Even New York in the late 90s wasn't this bad.
No, I think you could add San Francisco to that list as well, but that's California.
Yeah.
It's the same fucking laws up and down the coast, no matter how big the state is. So good luck with all of it. We got some sponsors, D'Anthony. Show 800, pay for this shit wagon to be on the air somehow still. First and foremost, ghostbed.com/drinking bros. 30% off. Everything in the entire store. Mattresses, sheets, pillows, adjustable bases, you name it. 30% off. The adjustable base itself. Now, if you want to get that, I believe that singularly is 40% off.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is type in the promo code DRINKINBROS at checkout for all of these items. And if you buy yourself a mattress, post a nice little testimonial of how much you love it on your Instagram. Take a pic of yourself on it or your lady on there. Ghostbed's going to send you 2 free ghost pillows. And those things are better than the goddamn mattress. That's about the same. I love them both. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today to hop on those deals. As always, they got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program, no interest there at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. And you can combine the 30% off and the 40% off together at the end. make a nice little baby out of it for $35 a month, and be on your way with no interest at ghostbed.com/drinkitbros. The next one up, dude, is one of my faves, because whenever I get that email, I know I got 6 bottles of wine coming right to my fucking dick hole.
Yeah.
Try firstleaf.com/drinkingbros. When you join today, you get 6 bottles of wine and free shipping for $29.95. $30. That's it. 6 bottles.
Yeah.
You're wasted.
It's not only is it 6 bottles of wine for $30, but if you're interested in getting into or already are interested in wine, this is the best wine club I've ever been a part of. It learns your preferences over time, and it's not just about the system either. It's inexpensive. So I know what people think. Oh, it's a bait and switch. It's 6 bottles for $30. That's $5 a bottle. There's no way they can keep that up. And of course, there's no way they can keep that up. But on average, they save you about 60% off the retail cost of the wines that are in their club after your original deal. So yeah, you're going to get the good deal starting out and the free shipping. But even as you continue through this process, you will continue to get good value on these things. And look, there's some of the best wines out there.
Yeah, and look, if you don't like it, so what? You get 6 bottles for $30. It's free shipping. Like, who cares? You know what I'm saying? It's a win-win on this.
Yeah, for sure.
I've been a member of this fucking club for 8 months at this point. Yeah, big, big fan.
2 years for
and,
me.
And they ship. Discover new wine like a VIP by becoming a First Leaf member. Join today. You'll get 6 bottles of wine for $29.95 and free shipping. Just go to tryfirstleaf.com/drinkingbros. That is 6 bottles of wine for $29.95 and free shipping at tryfirstleaf.com/drinkingbros. Last but not least, if you're drinking, chances are you're fucking. And you might need some Roman in the bedroom from getroman.com/drinkingbros, where right now you'll get $15 off your first month there, Dan.
Yeah, people,
how's your boner?
It's great. This is the same with TRT, by the way. Dudes think if there's something ED related that they can't, like they feel embarrassed, they want to get help. I mean, would you get embarrassed if your engine was fucked up in your car and you had to get it fixed? Why? It's science, goddammit.
Yeah.
Just calm down and get your shit fixed. You can get a free online evaluation, ongoing care for ED from these guys, from the comfort and privacy of your own home. You don't have to deal with any bullshit. You don't have to go in public. A licensed U.S. licensed healthcare pro works with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping every single time. Whole process, straightforward and discreet. And, it is, it does exactly what it says it's going to do.
Yeah, dude. It's the best. So to get started, go to getroman.com/drinkingbros. Complete the online visit. You're good to go. Take care of your ED without leaving your own home. Go to getroman.com/drinkingbros. And now you'll get $15 off your first month. It's really time to take care of your ED. And remember, get started today and you'll save $15 off your first order of ED treatment at getroman.com/drinkingbros. Comes in a discreet little package and you are good to go. I wanted to give you guys a quick update here at the top of the show. Obviously, you heard our little pre-roll for Cardomax. Promo code DB is a BOGO on that one. Buy one, get one. Sean Mattson had a leg injury about 2 days before the event on Saturday where he was trying to break the world record in the bomb suit for running a mile. So he was unable to compete. However, we wanted to give you an update on the girl, Katie Hernandez. She actually broke the record, smashed it, got it in like 10 minutes and something seconds. Chatting with her, we're going to try to get her on the show to talk about her experience. A bunch of you guys in Drinking Bros, the private group on Facebook, which, anybody's free to join. Just don't be an asshole. It's the only one, it's the only rule in that. And we got about 110,000 members inside that Facebook group right now, 800 subgroups, all that stuff. You guys started a thread asking us to have Katie on the show. And a bunch of you reach out to us today, so we're going to try to get her on the show and then talk about her experience in that. Dan, 10 minutes in a fucking bomb suit, 84 pounds, For a woman, too? That's fucking insane.
Well, for anyone, that's insane. I probably couldn't do that either, to be honest. Nor would I even ever try anything like that, ever. So if you're out there wondering, like, oh, we should do a comp. Nope, not happening.
Nope.
There is literally no chance I'll ever do anything that makes me sweat on purpose.
I don't even know if I could break a 10-minute mile right now just running without anything.
Oh, I could do that in my sleep. I could run a 10-minute mile backwards. It's all in your head, man. Once you've run long distances before against your will every goddamn day for 5 fucking years, you just tune out. I could run indefinitely until my body gives out. And it's not going to happen in 1,600 meters, so I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, you're fine on it. I've been traveling back and forth across the country. I don't even know where I'm at anymore. I get, you know, some form of weird sunburn. People are, I forgot that it's spring break here. So, like, people are fucking raging down here.
Good.
I'm absolutely fucking raging. And I've seen some weird shit in the last couple of days. Real weird shit.
Like what?
Where I was super proud of it. I saw a guy run, a fat man, try to outrun the cops on foot today.
In
that
the
was
sand?
Real. Huh?
In the sand or like on a hard surface?
On a hard surface, but he had just gotten off the beach and he was wearing flip-flops. And I was like, in what world did that make sense that you thought you could outrun the cops like on a hard surface? He got tackled to the ground and taken away. Very, very drunk, that guy. Super fucking rocked. So, you know, good for him. But fuck, spring break is in full swing. People have kind of just said fuck it with the whole mask stitch down here now, so that seems kind of over, which is nice. So proud of you, North Carolina, but yeah, everything's back open, Dan. It's like bars are open at 2 a.m. and restaurants and all that other shit. So yeah,
I mean, Carolina Beach is a private city too. I think they have like, is it even a mayor or is it just like some dude like a
yeah they got a mayor
yeah so there's only a couple of thousand people that even live there.
He's a veteran. I forget what he did, but he was on the news during one of the hurricanes and was talking about it. He lives down here. Usually it's some old fuck who lives down here.
Yeah.
You know, and these like beach towns and shit like that. Some old bastard who just, you know, wants to make sure nobody builds in front of his property or whatever the fuck
it is. Yeah.
And good for him. It's fine. I got an update on the seltzer. So, Dan, because I'm coming back on Monday. You're out of town on Friday.
Yep.
We got the new shipment of seltzer coming in on Monday.
Okay.
We will be doing a live show to taste the new flavors for you live on air and go through all of that stuff. Some people are worried about Craig's wedding. It should be out by the fall. And I told Craig in Ross Patterson Revolution, I said, look, Craig, we're coming to the wedding, but you're gonna have to have it sponsored by the seltzer company.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to have to buy out some cases for it. I would be curious to see a bunch of people drinking 8% seltzers.
At a wedding reception? Around. I mean, look, wedding receptions, if they're good ones, go off the rails anyways, right? Because typically speaking, the bridal and groom parties have been drinking since about 11 a.m. that day, give or take, depending on what time your service is. 10 to 11 a.m. is typically where, at least on the groom side, where I've been involved, we start drinking at around 10 a.m. 10 to 11, depending on when it starts. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens up there. You know, honestly, I don't know if we're going to take it super seriously or go full on Kentucky Derby and show up dressed in Dumb and Dumber suits. You know what I mean? It's hard. I'm not going to promise you one way or another.
Yeah, sorry, something Craig. Weird's going to happen. We're not going to do that. We don't know how we're feeling. We'll find out on the day. It's going to be a completely on the day decision. Obviously, Craigers. But I want to get Tiger Woods fucked up here. They came out with the crash info. I don't know why this was such a goddamn mystery with this. I can't say his name, but I did get an email from a listener who was explaining to me what the black box means inside the car.
Mm.
So he said basically it can tell you how fast you were going if they hit the brakes and, you know, if they were swerving or all that other stuff.
Do you have to get a warrant to get that?
Yes, they did need a warrant to get it, and they got it. So we have the final answer today. Turns out he was going about 84 in a 45 and just fucking crashed into a tree, and that was kind of it. But that makes sense based on what everybody else was saying, you know, that he was late for that commercial shoot. So he was probably trying to gun it, trying to get there.
What kind of car was off he the in? Road? Was it a Buick?
No, it was one of the ones that was given to him by the golf tournament that he was in. Fake Dan would know that, actually. What tournament was that?
That was
it's Tiger Woods' tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Genesis. Muted there. Genesis. At Riviera. Yeah.
So it's a Genesis car?
Yes.
I've never heard of anyone owning one of those. And the only person I know about that owns one is Tiger Woods, and it's because it was given to him.
Yeah, he doesn't own it. It was a rental.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I see. It's not even real.
Yeah.
They just slapped the logo on it like a magnet on the side of the door that said Genesis Tournament. So, you know, they loaned it to him so he could drive to that commercial shoot with Drew Brees. Was going about 84, and then just fucking kept going.
Oh.
So
an object in motion, right? Anybody?
Yeah.
Physics? Anybody?
Yeah.
All right, sweet. Let's move on.
They asked the captain, like, I don't know why people fucking care about this shit. They asked the captain why Woods wasn't guilty of reckless driving. And he told us another act like dangerously switching lanes needs to happen in order for reckless driving to be on the table. I don't fucking know if any of that's true, to be honest with you, but who cares?
That's definitely not true. Reckless driving is defined, I think, nationally by driving 20 miles per hour or more over the speed limit, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So they said he was driving between 82 and 87 miles an hour leading up to the crash, more than 40 over the limits. And, you know, it was a curvy area. We saw the streets and all that other shit. Again, he was the only one in the vehicle. Nothing got fucked up except his leg. I don't know why this needs to be a thing anymore, like a story anymore, to be honest.
Yeah,
with you.
I don't care. I mean, it's just Trump's not around. So we've got to fucking find some other celebrity to figure out what they're doing and whether or not we want to like or hate them, because that's how we've become conditioned to treat any kind of stimulus in America these days. It's a personality, right? It's not real. It's just a personality that's the front-facing personality. And we're asked, do you like or hate this guy? And not having an opinion is seen as an assault by some people. Like, I don't give two fucks about this. I feel like I should be allowed to not care about stuff, right? That's just how we're conditioned. If any Jesus fucking Christ could come back and become a politician, right? And people would decide how they felt about this guy based on which political party he chose. The end. Right?
Yeah,
it doesn't
yeah.
fucking matter about any... There's no fucking rational shit going on anymore. And anybody that's smart enough gets the fuck out of politics.
Yeah, I agree. Again, Tiger Woods, non-story. The Masters starts tomorrow. We'll be doing a live show here in about 20 minutes on the Sports Channel. Subscribe to Drinker Bro Sports, not only the podcast feed and the video show on YouTube. We got to boost those numbers up, but we'll be going live here in about 20 minutes, half hour for the Masters. Going to make our predictions for that. Let's focus on the Masters and not Tiger Woods' fucking car accident.
Yeah, I mean, and it's even though stuff isn't political, they're trying to make it political. Like, they want to dump all this information with a personality and their own narrative attached to it on you and force you to make decisions about everything. Because if it's not polarized, they can't make money on it. That's why all politicians are cunts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what these fucking people do. So you can buy that sticker and shirt on the website, obviously, if you want to walk around town and let people know that all politicians are cunts. I encourage you to buy the all politicians are cunts t-shirts and stickers and wear them in your meetings with politicians. Go to town halls and wear that shirt. Request an audience with a politician and wear that shirt, et cetera, and so on and so forth. And if you happen to have one on and there's a politician around, grab a selfie with him.
Yeah, that would be a blast.
Also, Ross, you'll find this funny. Deadspin a few hours ago actually published an article condemning the PGA Tour for not moving the Masters from Georgia. The PGA Tour doesn't actually have control of the Masters. Like, yeah. It's not their tournament. They have nothing to do with the Masters.
Yeah, man. I mean, I had heard whispers of that, and it's like, dude, you're not going to take away that tradition under any fucking set of circumstances, man. I mean, shit.
No,
they didn't let women play there for years, and they didn't do dick about that.
It would be like asking the NCAA to move the NBA Finals.
Yeah, it's the dumbest shit of all time. That will never happen. Crazy story for you, Dan. So we had Giannis Pappas on the show yesterday.
Right. By the way, Deadspin, no one gives a fuck about Deadspin. Let's be real.
It's
about
right. Well, yeah. It's almost dead.
Yeah.
Like but it was written by Rob Parker, who used to be on First Take.
Oh, cool. So First Take. So he's Max Kellerman's bitch then.
Pretty much. But yeah. If you do even like 5 seconds of research, you realize any major championship in golf is not ran by the PGA Tour.
Yeah, of
and
course
not. He just trashed the PGA Tour for like.
Well, it doesn't. When I'm angry, it doesn't matter. Whomever is around me or convenient, that's who's getting it. You understand? That's why I fucking have those two little dogs. I go home and beat the crap. I'm just kidding. So, yeah, it's fucking. This is all stupid. We're just conditioned to overreact to everything. It's, by the way, that's called. There's a name for that in psychology. It's called catastrophizing, and it's one of the main symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. So yep. we're teaching ourselves to have PTSD. One of the other key elements of post-traumatic stress disorder is emotional reasoning. See what's happening? Anybody?
Yeah, but no, there's no emotional reasoning, Dan. That's out the window. I've given up on it, you know?
Anyways, Giannis Pappas was on the show. He's hilarious. He's actually going to be on Lex Friedman's show. They're recording today, so I don't know when it's going to publish, but keep an eye out for that one, too.
Correct. But here's the beauty of it. Yesterday we were talking about like our favorite Greeks, and we got into a huge rant about one of the greatest sex tapes of all time. And we wish we could go back in time with Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee. This was the weirdest story ever that just popped up. And breaking news. Hulu is doing a limited series called Pam and Tommy. And it is all about the sex tape. That's it.
Oh, wow. Are they going to release a new digitally remastered version of the sex tape, too?
And I'm not sure. I'm looking at the cast here. So Nick Offerman just got tapped to co-star. I don't know who the fuck he's
playing. Not playing Tommy Lee.
No, definitely not.
They're going to get Machine Gun Kelly again?
It looks like Sebastian Stan is playing Tommy Lee. There's a chick named Lily James who's playing Pam Anderson, and Seth Rogen is actually going to be in it. I don't know what he's going to do in it, but Annapurna's doing it. Dude, Annapurna puts out the dopest shit on the planet, so I bet you this will be pretty goddamn good.
I don't know if, I guess stranger things have happened, but I'm not sure I see Sebastian Stan as Tommy Lee. That's a weird one for me. I mean, he's a tall guy. He's like 6 foot tall. He played Bucky Barnes. Yeah, right. So in the Marvel movies, he's one of the characters. What's his name? The Winter Soldier, I think. Yeah, good actor for sure. I just don't know. He's a fucking beef castle, and not that Tommy Lee's unhealthy. Well, he's unhealthy from a heroin standpoint, I guess, but. He is fucking rail thin. Machine Gun Kelly looked exactly like him. You know what I mean? So I don't
in the dirt. So Machine Gun Kelly played him in the dirt. I don't know why not just flop him over to this one because
seriously, he did a great job. Like him, he did a great job in that character. I don't know if maybe this one's a little more serious or something, but I can't imagine like all the fucking years of stuff we've seen about Tommy Lee. I can't imagine him having a serious moment in life in general. Doesn't seem like that, and it gets him in trouble quite frequently too. So having a serious actor like this play him, I don't know if I get that.
I'm not sure on either. And the other part about it is, you know, because I was trying to think if it's ever happened before, where an actor played a famous person, then did the same famous person in another movie. And the answer is yes. The guy who played Biggie in Notorious, that fucking dope ass biopic of Notorious B.I.G., he did the Tupac doc. So he flipped over and did the other Tupac movie. That movie was shitty, but, you know, it has happened in the past. Fuck, is there anybody better than Machine Gun Kelly at that? I mean, he looks identical to Tommy Lee.
I don't know. I also can't imagine anybody else playing Tupac after that last one. Whatever that dude's name is. I can't remember his name. Hold on, let me look.
Oh shit! That guy looked identical to him, but he wasn't that great of an actor.
No,
he did look identical to Tupac, though. I mean, it was eerie how similar he looks to Tupac in real life.
Yeah,
but that movie was fucking dog shit. I was pissed. I love Tupac. I don't want to see that bullshit.
Notorious, it was Anthony Mackie. I didn't buy him as Tupac, although he is a considerably better actor than the other guy whose name escapes me. But he, like, yeah, I mean, Anthony Mackie is a great actor.
Great actor. But he did not look like Tupac, and I'm with you on that. No. Like, it was a stretch. It's hard, man, when somebody's that charismatic like Tupac. Right. Like, that's a fucking tough role.
And he's got such a distinctive look, too. I mean, he looks like fucking I anybody thinks of Tupac, they immediately think of that face. Because, one, he's the only guy I fucking named that shit. You know what I mean? So there's not – your brain just makes really hard associations. And it's hard to put somebody on camera that doesn't look like that and have me believe that's who they are. I mean, some of the other films have had a lot easier go of it, frankly. I mean – Ice Cube was able to cast his own son, right, who looks a lot like him. Not everybody can do that, obviously. So yeah, I want to see the best movie, but I do think it's going to be jarring if Sebastian Stan comes out and he's the normal fucking pretty lean but muscular-looking dude he normally is, because Tommy Lee's wrists are like the size of this fucking mic stand right here.
Yeah.
He's 6'2". He probably weighs like 175 pounds at 6'2". I mean, he's been real thin forever. So I don't know if I see that or not, but I am looking forward to the movie because that's going to be. I didn't know that was getting made. That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's going to be a limited series on Hulu. Should be good. All the people involved are heavy drama.
Yeah,
people. So I mean, not Seth Rogen obviously, but that production company only does like, you know, hardcore shit. They did True Grit and fuck man, The Master. They did Annapurna has done like all the cool shit that never makes any money.
Well, that's weird. Yeah. So for sure it's going to be dramatic, you would think, if those people are involved.
One would think, yes.
And they got Sebastian Stan for the actor. That would make sense if that's their angle, I guess.
So what it says in the article is they want to focus on the fact that this was the first like viral sex tape. Mm. And then I guess what happened after that. Man, I remember, you know, shit, when we talked about it yesterday, like, I remember watching that thing. Yeah, that was kind of first, but that was kind of pre-internet, right? Like, I mean, I watched it on a VCR tape. Did you watch it on the internet?
Yeah, I did, but I was a little ahead of my time with the internet, all right? I was downloading a lot of pornography in the 90s.
Speaking of pornography, there's no better segue than to former Vice President Mike Pence just signed a 2-book deal here with Simon & Schuster. It's going to be detailing his faith in public service, obviously. I'm surprised Simon & Schuster, man, even did this. They hate everything from the right, so I'm shocked. But this is the same company that put out Hunter Biden's book.
Yeah. I mean, they care about money, right? And here's the problem. Well, they can get away with publishing Mike Pence's book. They might lose. They may have some subscriber burn, a little bit of fallout, but not even close as if they had had Trump on, for example. You know what I mean? They could not publish Trump's book for sure. But Mike Pence, they can publish. And then later on down the road, after paying a significantly smaller price than they would have for Trump, they can say that we're bipartisan when they're actually not. They just cared about the money. And it was a tactical decision. Now, it's a tactical decision that makes sense, so you can't really penalize it for that. So
no, Simon & Schuster just got acquired by Penguin, you know, for $2.2 billion.
Yeah, it's always good when media starts to consolidate, isn't it? That always works out great for everybody.
You're now down to 4 publishers, kids. So 4 publishers. If you're out there, you have a dream of publishing a book. You're down to 4, and they're not going to put out any fucking thing conservative.
Four publishers for books, and 8 Hollywood studios, 4 of which are owned by China.
So, yep, and I don't see Lionsgate lasting very long. Like, I think you'll be able to knock that down to 7 within a year. I think Lionsgate is probably out.
Somebody will buy them, yeah, for sure, and liquidate the assets and keep some of the personnel to expand, but they'll, yeah, that shit's going away. Somebody will buy their licenses, and then they'll buy their licenses and equipment and all that bullshit, and then they'll give all their executive level people golden parachutes. Like, here's $40 million, here's $100 million, here you go. Everybody else will get laid off, right? Those people will take all that money, not spend it in the economy like the people that were getting paid before were. This is what happens, guys.
Yeah, and I can say from a personal standpoint, like the residual checks that are always late and, you know, Screen Actors Guild have to sue are the two movies I did for Lionsgate. Like Lionsgate is always late, so I would imagine behind the scenes they are probably trying to sell that studio now and get the fuck out of there. I know I met with a guy who does a lot of their work because we were trying to shoot the Chuck Liddell show out of this one studio out there. And he said, you know, Lionsgate production was next to none coming into their studio anymore. So they've got to be on their last legs, one would imagine. Speaking of which, Chuck Liddell's brand new show, Icebreakers, with Chuck Liddell and Adam Ray, airs their first episode on Monday nights here on our network. So you'll be able to see the video and download the audio. The audio trailer is out now.
Yep.
On Spotify. So if you want to check that out on Spotify, their audio trailer is out now. It is called Icebreakers with Chuck Liddell and Adam Ray. And then tune in Monday night at 8 o'clock EST. Their first video episode will be airing on this very channel. And we're excited to have them. And we're all going to the Canelo fight together May 8th down in Dallas.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
So we're looking to do a live show in Dallas on Friday afternoon. Dan, right before we got on air, I was on the phone with Benny. You know, obviously we have drinkingbrostickets.com, which is back up and running now that some of these venues are opening and everything else. So go there for all your ticketing needs. Same as StubHub, just about $10 cheaper a ticket there. When I was talking to Benny, he said the Rangers are playing a home game Friday night against Seattle.
Right.
So we should go to that game and then do a live show Friday and get rocked and then go to that game. Those stadiums are right across the street.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we can do that. it's going to be interesting to see what happens here because Xander and Giannis Pappas, both Pappas boys, were at the Rangers game on Monday for opening day. Now, 100% capacity, and while they did have a mask requirement, I am told by them and other members, people in Drinking Bros actually that were there, that no one was doing that. Everybody was sitting there with no mask on and for the entire game. And I don't know what's going to happen with that. I don't mean an outbreak because we're past that now, right? Everybody's been exposed here at this point. So the outbreak, even when it does happen, will already have immunity to it. So the people, there will be all the asymptomatic people plus all the people who will now be asymptomatic because they've already been exposed and blah, blah, blah. Not going to explain virology.
Right.
But it'll be interesting to see if Major League Baseball fucking tries to pull some bullshit and start fining teams for not enforcing the mask requirement. Now, Texas doesn't have one, and there's no federal law saying it, but Major League Baseball as an organization can tell them what to do, right? Like the only reason those fucking nets exist down the foul lines right now are because of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and by the way, Hot Bob, look this up. I had read, I believe earlier this morning, that they shut the Nationals. I believe it was the Nationals down because they had 11 guys test positive. I haven't heard about a positive test in sports in a while, to be honest with you.
It was the Nationals and the Canadians, I believe, have 20 people. Canucks, I'm sorry, yeah. What's the difference? It's the same fucking word. That's like saying American and Yankee.
Hey, this is muted. The Nats had an outbreak.
I think they had 11 people out. They have 11 people on the IL right now for sure.
Yes, including 3 people on my team, actually, which is really fucking annoying. Yeah, like Brad Hand and Patrick Corbin are both out. Josh Bell out with COVID, so they a shit ton of their team is out. The Braves still having trouble with this crippled half team, but yes,
yeah,
yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting to see what's going to happen with all this shit because I looked at the same photos as you did, Dan. You know, from the Drinking Bros who had posted from the game.
Yeah,
I mean, it was packed. It looked like people were raging. I actually enjoyed seeing the pictures like that because it looked like people were partying and having a good time, and it looked like shit was going back to normal. So, fuck, man. I don't know.
Yeah, The owners the owners are the people that pay the commissioner's salary, by the way. For those of you that don't understand how sports commissioners work in professional sports leagues, the ownership of the league, like the people that own the individual teams, are essentially board members that get to vote on certain things. They're the ones that hire the commissioner of the league. So there's no fucking way. I was going to stop this before we end up moving on to another conversation. There's no way that they'll allow that to happen, because when I say they, I mean, there's no way that the owners of Major League Baseball teams will allow Manfred or anybody else for that matter to do to them what was done last year in whatever capacity, whether you're going to scare people off so they can't do what they want at the stadium and keep them from coming, or if you limit their capacity and keep them from coming, that shit is done. As soon as the state opens up, I guarantee you those fucking sports teams are going to be completely open, because they can't afford to lose that revenue again. They just
can't. I agree. And, you know, even the Biden administration said, look, we're probably looking at Labor Day for, you know, herd immunity or whatever the fuck they're calling
the
it.
The week before our fucking NFL season, you don't say. NFL, an organization that makes $15 billion in profit a year, right?
And no. Memorial Day, not Labor Day. So they're looking at May, they're saying.
Last week of May. Okay.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, it doesn't really matter what the Biden administration says. They don't have control over the states, obviously. So I'm not too worried about what that old fuck has to say, frankly. Although he is apparently making some statement on guns sometime soon. I don't know if we know exactly when that's happening. It just says Biden to unveil long-awaited executive action on guns. A lot of people think one of the things they're going to do is something about the concealment of assault weapons, but not necessarily an assault-style firearm ban. This is fucking stupid. Background checks for quote-unquote ghost guns, which is the dumbest shit of all time, but it's basically a gun that you assemble that the government doesn't track the entire time through its assembly, which I'm not sure why they think they're entitled to see that either, frankly, but... Yeah, who knows what's going to come out of this? People keep hitting me up and asking me to react to it. I don't know what's in the bill. I don't know what's in the executive order, or if it's going to be a series of separate executive orders, because I can tell you this, though. If multiple orders are issued, that means one of them they're not confident in, and they don't want an entire executive order to get stricken down and ruin the rest of the stuff that they know they can get away with. So my guess is they'll lump everything they think they can get away with in a bundle of executive action, of one executive action, and then piecemeal a couple other things that they aren't sure they can get away with. That's probably what they're going to do. So keep an eye out for that. If you see those individual ones out there and it doesn't seem like the executive order is suspicious, I promise you it is. Because the only reason they separated it from the rest is to they knew that it might get stricken down later, which means they know something that you don't. That's it. Don't fucking trust these people. They're all cunts.
Yeah, the other part about this is we don't want LeBron James this shit and go down the speculation road over bills that we haven't seen, haven't read, haven't been passed, all that other shit. So, like, dude, I don't want to speculate on any of it until it actually goes through. But like Dan was saying, we've heard the same rumors that you have. As soon as it is out... and we have, you know, something verified that we can actually discuss, then I think it's worth a discussion. But until then, I don't, you know, going into hypotheticals of what ifs and all that other shit is what the media does. We are not the fucking media. So there's just no reason to speculate. Now is the point in the show we get to the Drinking Bro of the Week. This one was submitted by Fox Smith from Arizona, a member of Drinking Bros for 2 years. She's nominating Shanna Smoth. Reason for the nomination: I want to put my wife up as Drinking Bro of the Week because she was there for me during the darkest time of my life. I was fighting demons and living in the bottle, and I decided to end it. She was there the whole time and helped me save my life. I've now turned my life around, and she has been my biggest supporter. Cheers. Cheers to you, Shanna. That's amazing. And cheers to you, Fox Smith, for sharing that story. Man, that's hard for a lot of people. And, you know, if you're able to admit it and say it out loud and all that stuff, like, it only helps other people do the same. You know, one of the big reasons I did the Dan and I did those shows with Dr. Frank was the same thing, man, where it was like, if you're going through something fucked up, you might as well talk about it and share it. Otherwise,
yeah.
You know, you'll be hiding in a fucking closet and that shit never ends up good. So cheers, man. Anybody out there can submit their Drinking Bro of the Week to drinkingbros.com. There's a little nomination thing. It just gets emailed in live on air, and we open these. We don't pre-screen them or anything. So whatever's in there is in there, and we will read it. And we appreciate all the support. 800 episodes is a lot. We hope to do fucking 800,000 more. So I, you know, that's why Dan and I really aren't making a big deal out of this show. We're in this for the long haul. We're not going anywhere every single day. So, we'll be here with you as long as we can stay alive.
Yep.
But that's a big what if. And then Jared said he's coming back into the show, hopping back into the studio, I think this week.
Well, he wants next week. He and Caleb are coming to pitch us a product that they've developed.
Yes.
And you can imagine how that's going to go.
I will say this. So I talked to Jared this morning or last night or whatever it was. Jared has like 100 good ideas. Like two are good.
Yeah, yeah.
He has 100 ideas. Only two of them are good. The other 98 are garbage.
They're not just good. They're great. They're like 10-point shots, right?
Correct.
So his effective field goal percentage is pretty good, but there's a lot of fucking volume shots in the air. So he's got to know how to pick them out of the air.
Yeah, yeah, a lot. So this one, though, made me laugh endlessly, and I'm pretty amped about it. We might make a T-shirt or something out of it.
You haven't even heard the second part of all this, and I'm not going to tell you either.
Okay.
It involves Jack Mandeville. I'll tell you that much. It's the same guys, all except for Jack is included now, and it's going to be fucking horrifying, but also.
Oh, man. Is it real, by the way? I couldn't tell if it was a real product.
No, they had stickers made.
But you could make it if you wanted to.
You can do anything. Well, technically, because of the... we can't get into it. There's too much going on. Yeah, the FDA would never approve this item, for sure. Not a chance.
We appreciate you tuning in, kids. Flop on over to Drinking Bros Sports. We'll be going live here in about 20 minutes on the Drinking Bros Sports channel. Live Masters Edition. Lost my ass on Gonzaga Monday night. I'm going to try to get it back on the Masters this weekend. We'll be giving our picks from mybookie.com, promo code Drinking Bros. We'll double that deposit so you can get in on that with us. Going to try to make some big money this weekend. So switch on over to Drinking Bros Sports here in about 20 minutes. We appreciate all of you guys who have been with us for 800, 900 episodes, whatever we've done at this point. We are eternally grateful. And like I said, you know, a couple minutes ago, we're in this for the long haul, so we hope to do 8,000 more and all that shit. So we appreciate the support. For D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. We are the Drinking Bros. Good night, everybody.